One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress.
It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Today is a special bonus episode. DJ Nicholson and I talk about AI to support learners with disabilities in the classroom. Hey everyone, Tim here. It's bonus episode time, and we have DJ Nicholson from Inclusivology with us today to talk about the article we co-wrote that's up on thinkinclusive.us right now. So without further ado, here is my chat with DJ, and after we wrap up, make sure to check the article out. It's called When Does AI Belong in an IEP? DJ Nicholson, how's it going?
Awesome. Yep, just coming off of a lovely long holiday weekend, and I'm really excited to talk about AI.
Well, let's get into our conversation today. A few months ago, we co-authored an article, and it is called, I'm going to have to pull it up now, sorry.
I would have to.
When Does AI Belong in an IEP? And we referenced it in the article. We had a discussion in February about why teachers leave the classroom. And in that conversation, it sparked some discussion around AI. It seems like AI is like everywhere in the news. It constantly is being cited in news articles. And I feel like there's a new AI tool like every minute of the day, it feels like. So we decided to write this article and we wanted to know what teachers were doing and what potentially teachers could do using AI as a tool in the classroom. So to get us started, DJ, why was AI, especially for supporting learners with disabilities, like why is that important or why was that interesting to you?
Well, I was thinking of AI for kids with learning differences in IEPs as an opportunity to have teachers use that as a way to level text, make reading more accessible, using it as kind of a summarizing feature to make more complex text accessible for everyone regardless of their reading difference or ability. And it's just so much, using AI is so much easier than actually going through the task of leveling text or looking around and trying to find a lower level text that would match the grade level text.
Yeah. Is there like a formal process for leveling text? Because I mean, when I was a teacher, there are very few tools. I think we talked about this before. We had something called Snap and Read, which is one of our assistive tech, consultants showed that to us. But that was this free version. It didn't always work and it was kind of buggy. So How would normally a teacher level text?
It would be very, very time consuming and very manual. They would take a text. From what I've seen teachers do is they would take a text, they would read through the text, they would create a summary that was accessible for someone with a lower level reading ability, and they would go into, you know, some kind of like visual support program, and they would create the visuals to go along with it. So it was very, very, very time consuming. And so one of the conversations that I used to have with teachers when they would sit in IEP meetings is the difference between leveling text and like guided reading type programs where there were text levels that were done at children's reading level. And so there was a lot of misinformation about the difference between a text level and actually leveling text as a task that you would have to do in order to pair a lower level text for a student to read. And so I was always saying to teachers, you know, are you going to take the time to level text? And they would say, well, what do you mean? And I said, well, because what you're seeing and saying in this IEP meeting is that you are willing to take this higher level text and you're going to basically condense it down to make it more accessible for a student with a lower reading level. Are you going to do that? And they would say, oh my gosh, I'm not going to do that. I don't know how to do that. I don't have time to do that. And so it became something that I saw teachers take off a list of accommodations. It might be an accommodation that was needed, but they're just simply, you know, I hate to say it, but there just simply is not enough time in the day to, you know, sit down and level text. So I think one of the things that you and I were talking about is if teachers could use AI to level text, you know, and we both tried it, it's infinitely easier.
And so one of the first things that I tried when I was playing around with ChatGPT is I don't remember what got me down this road, but I think I was thinking, well, I've heard ChatGPT can generate, text on any topic. So let's just say like, okay, write 400 word essay on the causes of the Civil War. Uh-huh. And it generated a nicely formed essay. And I was like, okay, this is fine. But then I was thinking about a previous student of mine and in one of my classes, and he loved wrestling. Like he was, he would watch like WWE, or I'm not sure if I'm getting those acronyms correctly. He would watch like the SmackDown ones, and he would always come in and, you know, mimic these wrestlers, how they talked and, their names and like their attitude. And so I was like, well, the only wrestler I know is The Rock, like on top of mind. Like, what if I asked ChatGPT to rewrite this essay in the voice and style of The Rock? And so I just put in the prompt, and a few seconds later, it completely rewrote the essay in the voice of a wrestler. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And I think I even sent it to you is what I did. It was right after our conversation. That's what it was. And I was like, DJ, look at this. This is absolutely phenomenal.
Well, and I think, you know, that just spurred my own creativity and thinking about, okay, well, if it's going to do it in the voice of The Rock, what other voice could we use? And I think we even tried, you know, like SpongeBob SquarePants or one of his friends. But I think, you know, whether it's a wrestler or a cartoon character, that's a fantastic way to get kids engaged.
Right, right. So that was one of the things when I was a classroom teacher that I struggled with, because a lot of times, you know, especially for students who have very specific, you know, interests, it was hard to find content that was related to their interests, that was also aligned either to, you know, grade level standards or grade level content. So this seemed like a great opportunity for an educator to be like, okay, we're going to talk about the solar system, but I'm going to create the content or modify the content so that it's engaging for a particular student, you know, and, you know, we like whether it's the style it's written in or, bringing in references that the student would find interesting. So then our conversation went to, well, I wonder who is already doing this right now, because all we're hearing is the negative and the cons of using AI. I wonder if there's anybody out there that has achieved any sort of success using AI in the classroom. So I was not able to find any of my, you know, educator friends to be able to talk to, but I did talk with Dr. Greg Vandenheim. Am I saying that right? Vanderheiden. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I did have a chance to talk with Greg Vanderheiden of the University of Maryland at the Trace Center. And he shared with me, you know, he's been working in assistive technology for many, many, many years. And we had a conversation about AI, and he was so excited to talk to me because he really sees a lot of parallels between the AI tools that are available now and in some of the early technology that made, you know, people's lives easier, like calculators. And so we had a conversation, and his basic message behind why educators should take a chance on AI is because, you know, back when tools like the calculator first came out, it was like, well, no, you can't have people use calculators because then they won't actually do math. They won't learn math. But as you can see, here we are, you know, decades later, people still learn math and it's still valuable. It's just we get to the place where we want to go a lot easier and a lot faster. What are some other things? I don't know if you had a chance to reflect on what Dr. Vanderheiden said. Is there anything that, you know, comes to mind from that conversation?
Absolutely. Yeah. I think, you know, we live in an age where, you know, technology is vast and expansive. And we, even as, you know, typically functioning adults, we use technology all the time. And we use technology to make our lives easier, to support what we're doing, and to make things accessible. So even, you know, iPhones, Apple, it came out with an entirely new accessibility line. Google has just updated all of their accessibility tools. So to me, you know, in thinking about what he said, you know, it's a matter of we're just moving forward in this technological world. And so if we can use it as a support and not a hindrance, then I think it's definitely worth a try. I think it's worth a try when it comes to supporting kids with differences.
And so you had a chance to talk with some educators who were trying AI out. What were those conversations like?
So I initially reached out to see if any of my educator friends were using AI, like we had talked about, and they were not. So I actually was able to get two teachers to try it, and it was very interesting. One of the teachers that I spoke with, she was all about it, and she was a special education teacher, but her co-teacher in this inclusive setting was not receptive, really not receptive. And I don't know if that came from a place of, you know, I don't know anything about this, so I don't want to try it, or that's not something that we do here, or did it come from a place of, well, I have to make sure that, you know, I run it by my building principal, my administrator, whoever it is, and we have to have permission, rather than looking at it as something that we just trial that then maybe could be implemented in the IEP. So she, that was not necessarily a successful situation because it caused a lot of friction between, you know, the two teachers, and then the administrator got involved. And so that kind of fell apart for lack of a better, you know, word to use. But then in the other situation, it was nice to have some kind of collaboration and cooperative conversations between the special ed teacher and the gen ed teacher, and thinking that, you know, this is something that could be really beneficial. So students in this situation were pulled out for learning. And so the special educator did use AI. She did level some text down, and she found it really helpful. And so, you know, when she brought it back to the gen ed teacher, it opened up conversation, not necessarily for use in the classroom yet, but I feel like it started a conversation about what can we use as supports for kids learning that we're not doing right now. And honestly, that was a little bit of the other situation as well. While that was a much more negative, you know, view of AI in general, it still sparked conversation of, like, in the first scenario, like, yeah, I think, you know, we do need something. It might not be AI, but we need something. So that conversation was started there, you know, on the IEP team. But in this, you know, the later situation where, you know, there was some success and the teacher was able to level down, just those conversations to kind of move things forward to find supports for kids. Because, you know, ultimately what we want is we want kids to be reading independently. We don't want to have, you know, an adult hovering over their shoulder. We don't always want to have to, like, you know, have that, like, not learned helplessness per se, but that enabling of, like, you know, oh, I don't know how to read this. Can someone else read this for me? Or can someone support me in this? Because it builds independence. So I think, you know, in both situations, there was some positive that came out of it. And the positive really was, in both scenarios, is to have those conversations about whether it's ChatGPT, AI, or some other form of, you know, assistive or artificial intelligence, because we use it. We do. And I think, you know, in the educational space, we're just at the very beginning of having those conversations.
Yeah, exactly. I've been reflecting about how much I'm using AI now, like, just in my own, in my work, right? You know, as a communications director, I have to come up with a lot of copy, so text, and yeah. You know, I'm writing scripts, and there are so many more tools for me to use that I can utilize that help me be more efficient. And so I'm just thinking of, like, if we think of it as an efficiency issue and not like that you're cheating, you know, because that's the thing is, I guess you could look at, you know, if I'm having AI or having an AI tool help me brainstorm subject line ideas, you know, for an email campaign, or, you know, title ideas for an article or for a podcast episode. Is that me cheating, or is that me being efficient so that I don't have to expend so much brain power coming up with all that on my own? You know, I guess you could look at it both ways, right?
Right. Well, and just another example of, you know, how I use it as a time saver. You know, I was writing copy, you know, something, a script to share with someone. And I realized, I finished, you know, typing it all up, all my own ideas and everything. And I realized, oh my gosh, I really want to put this in first person. So I put it into ChatGPT and I asked it to just take this information and turn it into first person language. And, you know, it's not, the work was still mine.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You know, but with kids though, you know, when we develop, you know, present levels and we have goals and all of that, that supports the learning, to me, to use AI is just a natural step, because it's something that's, it's supportive. It's not replacing. It's not, like you said, it's not cheating, but if we're helping, you know, at the end of the day, we want kids to access their learning and we want them to do it independently if they can. So it's, you know, like going back to what you said initially about, you know, that piece about the Civil War and Dwayne Johnson, if you can take, you know, like a, say like a seventh grade level text about the Civil War and condense it down to, you know, a basic reading level and take out all the complex vocabulary, but hold on to, you know, the crux of the piece and make it accessible. So then that student can then be engaged in conversation and can fully participate in what everyone is doing and feel confident about it, rather than thing with a grade level text that is not accessible, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I think that is probably one of the things that I'm most excited about. If I were still in the classroom, about how I could make things just more interesting and more individualized. You know, take existing content that may be just really dry, and then just rearrange that content so that it matches the interest of a learner. Because that's a lot of what I think teachers do anyways. You know, you have a textbook, you know, you typically don't just read a textbook in front of a classroom to deliver content. You have to, you know, and digest the content, figure out how to rearrange it, and and expose and deliver the content in a way that is engaging. Like thinking about universal design for learning, you know, principles and how you are the multiple means of presentation. I hope I'm saying right. Or representation. Maybe that, I think that's the right word. You know, you use video, you use audio, you use text, you use hands-on experiences. Those are all things that that you can do, and AI can help you brainstorm ideas on how to deliver the content. I mean, so I think there's a lot of room for where educators can take it.
Yeah, and I think there's implications for educators, and then there's, you know, the implications for students. I think those would look very different. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, from the IEP team perspective, if they can justify with data, with present levels of why this is something we should try, I think it's something that's worth trying. You know, I think people are a little taken aback by AI. It's overwhelming. It's all over the media. And it's getting kind of a negative spin when it comes to education in terms of, like, again, it goes back to the cheating. It's not always about cheating, but sometimes it is about being creative and, you know, for teachers, generating some ideas that maybe they hadn't thought about before. And then for kids, you know, is it the difference between them sitting in front of a text that is not accessible for them, that is boring and dry, versus like, oh my gosh, I'm going to read this funny thing that Dwayne Johnson wrote for me? Awesome. Would love that. You know?
Right, right. Well, another thing that I wanted to bring up too, especially for if learners are using AI, and something I think that Dr. Vanderheiden said, is that it's not a special accommodation if everyone uses it. So, like, for instance, if you give an assignment, if a teacher was giving an assignment and everyone had to use an AI tool to, you know, make a first draft of, you know, a response to something that they learned, then everyone gets the quote unquote advantage. And so it's not anything necessarily special, which I really, you know, appreciated, because it kind of goes back to that, the idea of that calculator. You know, everyone gets that assistance. And now, depending on, you know, who you are as a learner, you can take it from that, you know, that real basic level. Now everyone has a first draft, and you can now, you know, build on that.
Right, right. I love that idea. And I love, you know, just to live in a world where everyone has access to multiple tools and they can choose to use them or not.
Yeah. Any other things when you're looking into the future of maybe what you'd like to see, or maybe just dreaming a little bit of where we could be in the next 5 to 10 years?
I'm hoping that just in the world of, you know, accessibility, that we're truly looking at individual needs of kids. And I know, you know, I talk a lot, you know, at workshops and conferences and with, you know, with teachers and parents, that, you know, we still live in a world where we're directing most of the learning towards, you know, the 75% of kids that kind of fall inside the box. But that if we're truly looking at individual needs of every child, then we're going to start looking at how to make it accessible through, you know, and in order to do that, teachers have to have the training. There has to be the knowledge of all that is available. So whether it's AI in the form of ChatGPT or other accessibility features, that there's a comfortable knowledge, and that teachers, you know, have that proverbial toolbox to pull from, that they can choose to use that, or kids can choose to use that or not, in order to make learning authentic. Because, you know, I push that a lot, is that authentic learning piece. So it matters and it makes sense. And then they're able to kind of take what they learn and be able to generalize it, because it means something to them.
Right. You know? Yeah, I love this. I love what you talk about, you know, having a choice. You know, if certain tools are available to everyone, it doesn't mean everyone has to use it. It just means that everyone has the opportunity to use it. And so what I've been kind of learning about universal design for learning and creating experiences for students is having these menus, like a menu of options to be able to interact with content and interact with your and own your own learning. This seems like a really great opportunity to, as a teacher, to bring in some of these tools and allow the students to choose it for themselves, you know, and that I think that that goes to the spirit of where education is really going, and it's learner centered. It's not teacher centered. It's not, you know, I have the knowledge and I am going to impart it on you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, the teacher in the role of a facilitator rather than the governor of the classroom, I think that's just going to, you know, breed environments that are, you know, authentically centered for kids. Because at the end of the day, you know, we want to know what kids know. We want to know what kids know. And so if they need to look at and show what they know in a bit of a different way, so be it.
Great. That was great. All right. Is anything else you wanted to add before I tell everyone to read the article?
No, I think we covered quite a lot.
Okay, good. Well, if you want to read the article that DJ and I co-authored, it's on thinkinclusive.us and it's called When Does AI Belong in an IEP? Make sure to check it out and we'd love to know what you think. So, you know, drop us a line either at thinkinclusive.us or check out inclusivology.com.
Inclusivology.com.
All right, great. And drop us a line and let us know. So thanks for listening, y'all.
All right, thanks everybody.
Oh, hey, you're still here. Amazing. Because just in case you can't get enough of TI, let me give you a suggestion. Go over to patreon.com/thinkinclusivepodcast and become an activist and help support MCIE as we produce even more episodes for season 11 and beyond. We are also working on a narrative podcast called Inclusion Stories, and you can listen to the pilot episode of our new series right now when you join. Thanks for your support, and you'll find us in your feed real soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.